Take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Hebrews as we continue our series, Restart. And we're going to learn today how to restart our race with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible likens our Christian life to a race. And sometimes along the course of this race, we need a restart. We need a fresh new beginning. And we're going to learn how God provides that for us from Hebrews chapter 12, one of my favorite portions of scriptures. And if you've been saved perhaps any length of time, I'm sure it's one of yours as well. If you are a guest with us, thank you again for joining with us. You'll notice inside the bulletin the outline for the message today. And I want to encourage you, every married couple, every young married couple, be strong in your faith, young men. And single adults, be strong in the faith. And every one of us just determining today, I want to restart and grow and go forward for the Lord this morning in my Christian life. And so I hope you're ready for that. Hebrews chapter 12 is our text, and we're going to read the first three verses, and then we'll go right into the message today. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the word of God today, and we pray that you would teach us today about how to run the race called the Christian life. Open our hearts and our minds today, and give a restart to those who need today a fresh new glimpse of Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we certainly live in a generation that loves sports, and you'll hear about it tomorrow at work, no doubt. People will talk about the World Series, they'll talk about the NBA season starting or the college football season, and it's just kind of the way our culture is. There's nothing specifically wrong with it, it just kind of permeates. Everyone likes to talk about sports. I heard about a husband the other day as football season was starting, and he said to his wife, he said, now honey, before football season starts, is there anything you'd like to say to me? Now, how many of you recognize when it gets to that point, it's gotten a little bit crazy, right? And there are some folks that are that way. Sports are just taken over, if you will. Well, when we look into the Bible, we find that sports were also very popular in the first century Roman world. They had the Olympian Games in Athens. They also had what was called the Pythian Games, as well as the games at Corinth, sometimes referred to as the Isthmian Games, speaking of the isthmus there surrounding Corinth. And these were three of the major centers in Macedonia where the Olympic-style games were held. And we find in the book of Hebrews that the author of Hebrews is using this morning an allegory, or a background rather, concerning the game or the race that is called the Christian life. Notice, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, the preceding chapter, we read about the heroes of the faith. The faith chapter. We read about Enoch, and we read about Abraham and Noah. We read about men and women who walked with God, and some who were martyred for the faith. And the Bible says that these who have gone before us have become the witnesses of our race, and that they are observing the race that we now run even at this day. Did you see that in the Bible? It says we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. These are people who have already run their race. Now they observe us as we run our race. And we see this in the Holy Lands today. The Hippodrome in Caesarea Philippi. This is a place where the witnesses would gather and they would watch as the racers were entering the track and would run the race. Some of you have seen pictures of the Colosseum in Rome. And again, there would be a great cloud of witnesses that would gather around and they would watch the events that took place. And so the Holy Spirit is using in Hebrews 12 an analogy, a picture. And the picture is of a full Colosseum, a cloud of witnesses watching us as we run the race that we have had set before us. We are compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. Now, as we consider this morning the race, all of us who have been Christians for any length of time would say that often we need to have a restart in the race. We need some Powerade. We need a breather. We need to have a refocusing on the goal in order that we might finish the race. There may be some here this morning who are not on the track. That is, you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ alone. You have a relationship with a church. You have a relationship with a religion. But you have never been born again the Bible way. And so, whether if you are saved today, you are on that track. If you have never accepted Christ as Savior, then listen this morning because we're going to learn how your sins can be paid for and how you can run the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this morning as we consider this race, I want you to recognize that in order to complete the race with joy, there are some considerations that must be made. And first of all, if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to see the decisions we must make before the race. Before the race. That is, before we get back on that track tomorrow. That is, before we take that next lap of this race called the Christian life. There are some things that we must consider first. And I want you to see those in verse 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Now God says as you enter this race, you need to lay aside the weights. Let us lay aside every weight. When we look at the word weight, the Bible describes it here as an encumbrance or a burden. And it's only logical that if you're going to run a race, you don't want to carry a backpack. When I was a young man in high school, I ran the 440 relay. I was the third leg on the 440 relay. My job was to do my very best to make sure that our team was ahead or close to the lead when I passed off that baton. And I'm not an expert on running, but I can tell you this much. I did not wear my basketball shoes to run track. I did not wear my football cleats to run track. I wore a very light shoe with three little prongs right at the front toe. I wore a very light outfit because in order to run as quickly as possible, we did not want extra weight on us as runners running on the track. And here the Bible says that as we run the spiritual race, that we are to lay aside the weight. Now, these weights, they are not necessarily sinful. They are not necessarily morally wrong. They are simply a hindrance to us as we run the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is, there may be something in your life right now, and it keeps you away from church. And it holds you back from supporting a missionary. And it keeps you away from studying the Bible. And it doesn't help you to grow in your spiritual life. It's not necessarily a sin, but it is what the Bible calls a weight. Now let's learn a little more about weights. Notice in your notes, 1 Corinthians 6:12, it says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now, when you study the context of this passage, the Apostle Paul was saying that there were many things he could do, many things he could eat. It was within the boundary of biblical permission or law that he could eat meat, but it might not be the best thing for him to do, given the concerns that those who had previously seen the meat offered to idols possessed. They possessed concerns about this. So Paul uses the word expedient. Now the word expedient means this, to free the foot. If something is expedient, then your foot is free to go forward. But he said there are some things in life that are not expedient. They are entangling to one's foot. And I want you to think of that. Notice in the Bible, if you would, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. Hold your place in Hebrews. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. Because I want you to recognize that God wants your feet free to run the race. He doesn't want you to put weights on your ankles. He doesn't want you to be held back as you run the race. He says, I want you to lay aside the weights that would so easily beset you. Now notice in 2 Timothy 2, 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Is everybody there with me this morning? All right. How many of you believe the Christian life is a warfare? We've got to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a whole crowd in this country that is anti-Bible and anti-Christ. And you and I are called to fight a spiritual warfare. No man that warreth, notice the next word, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now the word expedient means to be free of foot. And then we see in 2 Timothy 2:4 the word entangleth. In other words, no one in battle wants their legs to be entangled. They want to be free of foot so that they can run the race. No one wants to be running their race and suddenly almost fall down because they had barbed wire around their ankles. No one wants to suddenly fall down because they were entangled. And no man that warreth, no one in this room, if you're a serious dad, if you're a serious grandfather, if you're a serious mother and you're running your race and you want to finish your race and you want your children someday to say that they ran a good race, nobody who's serious about the Christian life is going to get entangled up in the weightiness of this world that will trip you up so you don't finish your race. And you're willing to lay anything aside that would hinder you from finishing your race. So God says that we're to lay aside the weights, not necessarily sinful things. I do not know what it might be for you. Everyone has perhaps different weights. It may be a hobby. It may be a friendship. It may be social media. Some people spend excessive amounts of time. They could be reading their Bible. They could be encouraging their spouse. They could be with their children teaching them. But instead, they have this weight, and they spend so much time with this weight that pulls them down sometimes spiritually. So the fact is today, there are many things in this world that are not necessarily wrong, but they can become a weight that keeps us away. We often say this, good, better, best. Good, better, best. And we want to spend our time on the best. But the weights pull us away from that which is the best. And so God says we're to lay aside the weight. And then notice also he says we're to lay aside the sin. Lay aside the weights and lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the term a besetting sin? Have you ever heard that? They'll say, oh, alcohol is his besetting sin. Gossip is her besetting sin. Lust is his besetting. It's that sin. It's a besetting sin. The Bible says we're to lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset us. Now, the fact of the matter is that if we're going to run the race, we must set aside the weight. And some of you may have a weight this morning. It's not wrong that you're in that club. It's not wrong that you have that possession. But if that club or that involvement keeps you away from certain things, it can become a weight. I remember when I was a young boy, and I was in Little League, and I was good, too. I was probably headed for a professional contract. I'm not sure, but probably was. I was about maybe in the fifth grade, and I was enjoying playing left field and learning how to hit. And suddenly they began scheduling games on Sunday. And my dad said, son, you'll not be in Little League on Sunday. Sunday's the Lord's Day. And he said he felt that if I got so involved in sports on Sunday, that if it kept me away from Sunday school and church, that would be a weight to me. He felt that very strongly, and I'm very thankful that he did. Now, I could have tried to argue with him and tell him, but Dad, it's not a sin to play baseball on Sunday. And I believe theologically, at fifth grade, had I known the arguments at fifth grade, I could have possibly shown him that theologically, I could still be saved and go to heaven and play baseball on Sunday. It was not a sin, but it was a weight. And you have some things, they're not sins, but they keep you from church. They're not sins, but they keep you from doing the best for Jesus. And I could have argued with my dad, just like when I tried to argue about hair length. You never win these arguments with your dad. Because he said, I'm not going to let you have a weight that would so easily beset you. You see, we don't need less of the Bible. We need more of the Bible. And so we've got to lay aside the weights. We've got to lay aside the sin that would so easily beset us. And some people say, well, that's old school, man. This is too old fashioned. No, it's about as old school as this book right here. And if we'd get back to some dads getting rid of their weight and their sin and getting their boys to love Jesus more than a piece of leather and teaching them how to love God and get to the house of God, we might have revival in this country once again. We'll not have revival as long as everybody around here is trying to run a race like this, and you've got your weight, and you've got your sin, and you're saying, boy, it's hard to be a Christian. Yeah, it's hard to be a Christian when you're down at the club. It's hard to be a Christian when you're gossiping. It's hard to be a Christian when you're on the internet 7 hours a day. It's hard to run your race when you're living in sin. That's why God said, lay aside your weight, lay aside your sin, and run the race that's set before you. You see, we've got too many Christians today trying to run a race while they're carrying their weight and their sin. And you just can't win the race when you're carrying weight and sin around. And so God says, I want you to make some decisions. Before you get out on that track, you've got to make some decisions. And if there's something holding you back, you got to lay it down. You got to lay it down so you can run the race for Jesus Christ. Well, there's a second thing I want you to notice, a second principle. And that is that there must be dedication for the race. There must be dedication for the race. Now notice in verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now this next point, I'll just preach to myself, and if anyone else wants to listen in, you can. How's that sound? How many of you say, sometimes I need to have more patience in my race? And he says, I want you to run with patience the race that is set before you. Now, notice a few things here. First of all, we must determine to finish the race. Let us run the race. Let us run. Let us move forward. Let us go forward with the race. And by the way, notice it says the race that is set before us. I want you to take note. Everyone's race is distinct to themselves according to God's will. I'm not running your race. You're not running my race. You just run the race that God sets before you, the race that is set before us. 2 Corinthians 10:12, comparing themselves with themselves, they were not wise. Look at, some of you have just been saved. Some of you have had different trials of health and family. And don't get in your lane and look at someone else and say, well, why don't they have this burden? Or why do they have this? Don't compare yourself to the guy in the next lane. Just stay in your lane looking unto Jesus. Us, you see, determine to finish your race. And then secondly, determine with patience. Notice it says, let us run with patience. Now the word patience is an amazing word. And it's an interesting word study. If you look it up in a little Bible dictionary, the Greek words hupo and meno, which mean to remain under. To remain under. Now, in this race, sometimes it's difficult to remain under the rigor and the weight that we have in running the race. Every once in a while, if I'm away and maybe trying to exercise, I might put on some exercise clothes and go out for a jog. And for me, once I get to about the half-mile point, it feels like I weigh 1,000 pounds. It feels like my muscles won't move. And about the time I feel that way, some 90-pound lady runs by me at 110 miles an hour. Then there's this 120-pound guy that runs by me. Boy, they're just running and running. And I'm feeling like, man alive, I've got a lot on me. And it's hard to move. And my muscles are tight. And you know what I have to do? I have to patiently pludge along there. I just have to keep going. I have to run with patience the race. And I want you to know today that every one of us in this race need to have patience to run the race that is set before us. Sometimes things will come into our life that we did not expect. Sometimes a trial will come into our life. Sometimes there'll be burdens that we were not expecting. And God says, I want you to run with patience the race that is set before you. It may be something at your job. It may be something that came along and you just weren't ready for it. It may be something about living in California. Sometimes people say, I don't want to remain under the burden of my job or living in California. And I've every once in a while, people say, I'm just tired of this and that. Sometimes it's a strange day in which we live. I understand that. We live in a liberal state with lots of laws, and now we're going through a drought. Friday, I took my wife up to Hearst Castle. It's a state park, and we went there to see the Hearst Castle and spend a day together. And we went in. The first question after a long drive is, where's the restroom? They said, we're sorry, you can't use the restroom. I said, what? We can't use the restroom because it requires the flushing of toilet water. You can only use the little porta potty outside. That's the state law. I said, is this something else Jerry Brown's doing to us now? Telling us where to go to the bathroom? They said, you have to talk to Jerry Brown. You know, sometimes there's things that can bother you. Sometimes there's things that change and are difficult. But I'm saying the attitude ought not to be, that's it. I'm going to sell everything I have and move to Idaho and live in a pup tent and buy some canned food and get a shotgun loaded for bear and wait. I don't think that's God's will. God says, I want you to remain under sometimes. I want you to be willing to bear the burden, to run with patience the race that is set before you. And so oftentimes we see young couples, and sometimes we'll see grandmas and grandpas and single adults, and it's just that last thing, and now they're not willing to remain under. And God says, I want you to run with patience the race. Back in 1968 at the Summer Olympics in Mexico, there was closing ceremonies already completed. People were gathering around, kind of shaking hands, and suddenly they overheard the speaker saying, clear the track, clear the track. They heard a siren coming. A motorcycle was leading a runner in. The runner's name was Stephen Akwari. He was from Tanzania. Many, many minutes prior to this, he had fallen in the marathon. Really, it had been more than an hour ago. No one really knew that he was even still in the race. In fact, many had trampled over him and he was injured badly. But he got up and he continued to run his race, and he came across the finish line, and as he came across, he fell with exhaustion. They took him straight to the hospital. The next day, a sports reporter came and they said, why in the world did you even bother to finish the race? There was no way you could have won. And Stephen said, my country did not send me over 11,000 kilometers to start a race. They sent me over 11,000 kilometers to finish the race. This morning, the Bible tells us to consider the end of a thing. I want to challenge some of you men and some of you ladies to consider finishing your race. I want you to get a picture in your mind way down the road. I don't know what that is. Maybe for you it's 101 years old. I don't know what it is. I want you to picture yourself walking into Lancaster Baptist Church with your cane saying, glory to God, glory to God. I want you to picture some children that say, Dad never quit on Jesus. I want you to picture some children that say, Mom never gave up on Jesus. I want you to picture some unsaved friends saying, that guy really must have kept believing on Jesus. I want you to consider the race and be challenged today to run with patience the race that is set before you. It may be a difficulty you're dealing with in your marriage. It may be a difficulty unbeknownst to anyone else in this room. But God sent you here to finish. And Jesus came and finished. And we are challenged to do the same. And so there must be decisions made before the race. There must be dedication made to run with patience the race. Then notice finally this morning, there must be determination in the race. Now, you get on the starting blocks. You lay aside the weight. You lay aside the sin. You come forward and you say, Lord, as of today, I'm no longer going to be friends with those unsaved friends. I'm laying that aside. I'm not going to party with them. I'm laying that sin aside. And Lord, I'm not going to spend 19 hours a week watching soap opera. Help me here. I'm just laying that aside. Now, you can call it a sin or a weight. We can debate that later. But whatever it is, lay it aside, right? And that's why we have the altar call, so we can lay aside sin and weight. And so you've done that. And now you're at the starting track, and you've laid aside the sin and the weight, and you've looked ahead, and you're saying, Lord, help me to run patiently the race. But now I must determine as I'm on this track. And there's two determinations I must make. First, I must have the goal. I must be determined at the goal. Notice our goal, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now please remember this morning. We are not running from something. We are running to someone. Someone says, well, I had a bad experience, and boy, this man left me and the kids, and I'm going to prove to him something. And some young man says, my dad did this to my mom, and I'm going to prove something to him. And their whole life is a reaction against a trial, and they're just proving something that they're going to prove their point, and they're running their whole life from that. God says, I don't want you living your life from that. I want you running to me. Life is not from something else. It's running to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many people live their lives in this reaction, and they're running from a bad experience, and they're running from this, and they're running from that. I heard of a man by the name of Bernard Kip Lagat. And Bernard Lagat is a runner from Kenya. And at the Sydney Olympics, he was interviewed, and they asked him, how do you win so many medals? How have you run so fast all of your life? What has motivated you to be such a great runner? And he said, well, he said, it's the road signs in Kenya. And specifically the ones that say, beware of the lions. Now that would motivate me to run, amen? But God doesn't want you running from the lions. He wants you running to the Lord. He wants you to look unto Jesus. He wants you to be looking unto Jesus. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. God says, I want you to focus on me. I want to illuminate your life, but you're going to have to focus on me. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, look, my goal is to know him. My goal is to be with him. I'm going to keep my eye on the prize, and that is Jesus. He is my goal. Years ago in Athens, there was a particular race from the Colosseum, and they would light the torches of the runner. And the runner would leave the Colosseum and go out through the city and then come back. And the winner of the race was not the man that entered the Colosseum first. It was the man that entered the Colosseum with his torch lit first. And my friend, it's not enough to be on the track. We must keep our eyes on the Lord and stay in love with the Lord and keep your torch lit for Jesus Christ. Because along the way of this course, someone's going to say, hey, join our motorcycle club, join our club, join this, join that. And it's going to pull you from church and from God and from all these things that I'm saying, my friend. Don't just be on the track, be in the race for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to just stand on the track. I want to run the race, and I want to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says of him, he is the author, the chief leader, the predecessor of our faith. And then notice not only our goal, but notice our example. Notice what it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The word finisher means the perfecter. He is the one who starts. He is the one who finishes. And I don't understand how the Lord did it. The Bible says Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. I don't understand how he was on that cross and how the Roman soldiers placed the nails through his hands and his feet and the spear through his side and the crown of thorns upon his head. And I don't understand how he endured that. But the Bible tells us that he endured the cross, verse 3. He endured the contradiction of sinners. If I would have had the power, I would have said to the angels, take me away. I'm not going to stay. But Jesus didn't do that. He stayed until the very last breath, and he said, it is finished, and he endured the cross. And what the Bible is telling us is this: when you're on your course and you're running this race and you're looking toward Jesus, make sure you focus on him. Because when your friends disappoint you, and because when your spouse doesn't cheer you on, and when everything's not going the way you want it to go, just keep looking to Jesus. He will never disappoint you. Now, I'm thankful I have a godly wife who, in times of trial and difficulty, she'll say, honey, look to Jesus. He's going to get us through it. But you may not have somebody pointing you to him. That's why we need to come to church. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who endured. He endured courageously. Why did he do that? He endured the cross, despising the shame. He did that in order that we might be saved. And the Bible says that he did it for our redemption. Jesus Christ paid that price. He became our example. The Bible says in John 4:10, here is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sin. You know, Jesus stayed on that cross and Jesus shed his blood so that we could have the forgiveness of our sin. So that we could know that there was a payment made and that we could have access into heaven. And God says, I want you to keep looking to Jesus. And sometimes, if you're not careful, you look over here to the gossip and you look over here to the news channel and you look over here to this and over here to that. And some of you this morning, you're on the racetrack, praise God. But you need to focus on Jesus Christ. My son Matt, when he was just a little boy, around 4 or 5, sometimes I'd be real busy, and I'd be thinking about this, that, and the next thing, and he'd be talking to me. And if I wasn't paying good enough attention to him, Matt would crawl up into my lap, and he'd grab my cheeks like this. He'd say, Dad! He wanted to have my attention. And some of you this morning, you've got your eyes over here on this or that, and some of you this morning need to get your eyes back up to Christ. Some of you this morning need to turn to Jesus and focus on Jesus and recognize that he is now at the right hand of the throne of God. He is there making mediation for us. He is there at the right hand of God. And as I was telling the new believers in the new members class just a moment ago, we don't bring our prayer to a Catholic priest. We can bring our prayer directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me tell you about every priest that ever got into a confessional booth. Let me tell you about every Baptist pastor that ever stood in a pulpit. Let me tell you about every one of these types of ministers. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but there is a great high priest whose name is Jesus Christ, who was tempted in all points like we are, yet he never sinned, and his name is Jesus, and he's at the right hand of God the Father. And when you're having a difficult day on the racetrack, and you can look up to him and say, Jesus helps me, and he says, I understand what you're feeling, I've already been there, I was tempted with it all, and keep on running your race. Listen, I may not encourage you, your teacher may not encourage you, but Jesus never fails, my friend. He never fails. And you can look to Jesus as you're on that race, and you can trust him, and he'll bring you through every step of the way. Jesus never fails. And so we thank God today. And yet there must be a determination looking unto Jesus. He is the goal. He is the example. Bobby Robertson's a pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. 45 plus years now. When he was 29 years old, he was working so hard and soul winning and counseling and preaching and trying to get things going. But his body began to break down, and suddenly Bobby Robertson had a nervous breakdown. Well documented. He went to the hospital. He just couldn't get going. In his mind and his body weren't cooperating with him. And he just wasn't sure. Some of the men from the church came and they said, well, it ought to be obvious that God's finished with you. Sometimes Christians are not encouraging when we're tired on the track. They asked him if he'd want to go ahead and resign the church while he's right there in the hospital bed. He said he didn't believe that's what God wanted him to do. He just kept praying and asking God for strength. He just kept letting this experience cause him to look more to Jesus. When he came back to church and began preaching, he just had to sit in a chair to preach. He couldn't stand. And he could only preach for about 15 minutes. Some of you would love that. Just keep dreaming. Sometimes 20 minutes. That's all he could do. But he kept looking to Jesus. Some said, just get off the track. You're tired. You're already worn out. But he just kept looking to Jesus. He preached 20 minutes. He preached 25 minutes. He preached 30 minutes. Started going out soul winning. Started having men's prayer. Built a new auditorium. The folks gathered together. They built another auditorium. Built a Sunday school. Built a large a gymnasium. Built a big commercial kitchen. Put in the church cemetery. Bought 60 buses. They run 60 buses every Sunday, bringing boys and girls from all over that region to hear the gospel. And thousands of people come in their cars to hear the gospel preached. Why? Because a man that was down on the track would not get off the track. He kept looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith. And he said, if Jesus endured the cross, I'll endure this for Jesus. And I'll keep going today. And I don't know what you're facing this morning, but I want to challenge you. Get your eyes on Jesus and stay on the track and get up and keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, this morning, if you've been feeling like just quitting the race, I want to encourage you to restart the race. I want to encourage you today to just keep on keeping on. I don't care who the governor, who the president, who the boss. It doesn't matter what's going on. As long as Jesus is on the course, we can make it to the end. And so I encourage you today, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.